while we're standing, we're going to focus our attention on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54. First Corinthians 15, 51 through 54, where the word of the Lord says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." In other words, if you'll study this scripture, you'll find out that that is literally saying we shall not all miss it. But it says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. The twinkling of an eye is a Greek phrase. And the definition of that Greek phrase is atomos. And atomos in Greek means an undivided point in time. It will happen so fast until time won't even be divided. That's how fast it is coming. And that's how quick we'll be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Somebody say hallelujah. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is when we're going to be like him. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in, everybody shout, victory. Praise God. Amen. And so what I want to talk about tonight, and I don't have anything lengthy, but I do have something I sincerely feel to share with you this evening, and that is, I want to talk about a couple of great ingredients for a home-going church. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what we are. We're a home-going church. Praise God. And so I want to talk about a couple of ingredients that need to go into a home-going church. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity. Again, we praise you for this wonderful privilege, Lord, to teach the Word of God, to walk in the Holy Ghost, to be led of the Spirit and directed of the Lord in a time like this. We need you desperately, Lord. We need you mightily, and we need you powerfully. Holy Ghost, from the inside out, up and down and all around, Holy Ghost, saturate and permeate your people tonight with the divine inspiration and power of God. And everybody shouted, amen. God richly blesses your seated just now. Amen. And so, normally when we're preaching, we try to sneak up on you and hit you with a surprise with the subject. We're teaching tonight, and I want you to know what the subject is about. Amen. We're literally going to talk about a couple of ingredients. Now, I'm sure that there's a lot of ingredients. I could probably say from this Tuesday night forward, we're going to talk about the ingredients we need for a home-going church. And never exhaust it. But tonight we're gonna talk about a couple of them at least. And so number one, somebody shout revival. Revival. If there is no revival, there is no survival. If we're going to survive in this last day, then we need to live in a state of perpetual revival. Amen. Many people are not at Landmark tonight because they thought that they were going to come in here and get it and then take it to somebody, only to find out that you maintain it where you got it. Because, well, I don't know if any of you have ever suffered addictions or anything like that, but if you ever have, then you knew that one time wasn't enough. Well, we're suffering from an addiction now that's not an affliction now. And that is that we need revival perpetually all the time. Amen. And so you don't come and get this and then take this. We saw someone at the parade the other night, and So many people out there call me pastor, and they literally mean that. I am their pastor. In their mind, I am their pastor. But I have not seen them in 6 years, or 8 years, or 10 years. And then we bump into them, and so the case at the Christmas parade, and this lady, she said, she's even called back and said, I've got to get back to Landmark, because you folks just reminded me of what I had and what I miss. She was a victim, thought that she could come and get it and then take it and share it. The problem with that is when you come and get it, take it and share it, you just gave away all you had. That's why we come back to the house of God and say, here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. So that we can retain that. That's reviving, reviving, reviving. That's what revival means. Revival is not for the lost. You can't revive something that's never been vived. But if you've ever received the Holy Ghost, you've ever been baptized in Jesus' name, you've ever experienced the glory of God, amen, and you get a cold area that's come in, you can revive that with the fire of revival, amen. So one of the ingredients that we need to survive in the last days is the spirit of revival, amen. We have to connect to the spirit of revival. Amen. So, because when we're revived, there's no problem with prayer. Amen. And I'm not just talking about prayer. I'm talking about deep prayer and fasting. And the reason I say that is because we understand, this Bible study group tonight, we all understand that prayer and fasting incubates revival. It's out of prayer and fasting that revival is hatched out and born. Amen. And so we understand that there must be deep prayer and there must be fasting. Amen. And then we're going to dream. We dream the dream. But we also understand as this Bible study crowd that even though you dream a dream, you can't oversleep. Amen. Don't continue to lay there and think about it. Dream to dream and get up and do something about it. Amen? Praise God. And so, dream the dream, but don't oversleep. Because revival gives. Revival gives. That's why we need, everybody shout, revival. Because revival gives, 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 gives. But you've got to stay connected to the source. Because if not, we will become, as Paul said, what did he say? Lest in giving to others, I myself become a castaway. Because you can give it all. And if you're not connected to reviving, then, of course, you're in trouble. You've given everyone else what you have and what they need. But we haven't resupplied in the arena of revival for ourselves. Amen. And I just... every now and then, it's good to think about yourself. Amen? Because there are so many others that are reliant on you and I that we must take good care of ourselves in the house of God. Right? Amen. Amen. And so, that being said, if we stay connected to revival, all manner of things will just be taken care of. Amen. I wish I could handle an onion up here and peel it for you, but that wouldn't work. I'd cry like a baby. But it is like an onion, because the peeling, the Lord just begins to peel the things away that aren't like Him and add the things that are like Him when we are living in a state of revival. Praise God. And so, you know, He builds your confidence. He builds your strength. He builds a love that we should have. Now, I'm talking about a godly love that we should have for ourselves. Amen. In that people sense that he's a man of honor, or she's a lady of respect, and because we radiate that. People see that. But people can spot incompetence instantly. Amen. And so you want confidence in yourself, It's not going to be another scheme. It's not going to be another get-rich trick. It's going to be right here in your mind and in your heart, and it's going to come from God because you're connected to revival. Amen. Amen. And so, I didn't mean to get into all of what I'm getting into right now, but let me say this. The first thing that has got to go when we suffer from the elements of losing that revival connection, the first thing that's got to go is heartfelt praise. I mean, you know, you can give it this, you can give it that, and you can give it this, but that heartfelt praise, and only you know, and only I know what my heartfelt praise is. Now, to some, you better watch out, because they're going to leave skid marks on the walls when they're really praising God, when they're really in revival. Others, they never leave their station, and they're just right, but they know it's heartfelt, and they know it's deep. That being said, we all also know when that's gone, right? That's the signal. When that is gone, we must instantly get reconnected to it. Now listen, this altar is awesome. This church, you and I know, is absolutely awesome. That's going to be even awesomer. But there, you can revive yourself anywhere. Anywhere. Your car seat can be a revival center. Your home can be a revival center. Your job station can be a revival center. A restroom somewhere can be a revival center. You know exactly what to do to reconnect to God for personal revival. Do not let day in and day out go and go and go and go, because you'll find yourself talking about stuff that doesn't even make sense. Find yourself reasoning about things that don't even make sense. Amen. But things will make sense when you reconnect to apostolic revival. And so what I'm saying is, let's stay connected to, everybody shout, revival. Amen. Because when we're connected to revival, we need eyes to see the deep things of God. Amen. And we need the ears to hear the holy. This world is loud, am I right? Man, their music is loud. Everything they do is loud. And so we need spiritual ears to hear the whispering voice of God when he's given direction. Amen. And so be careful. Be very careful. Because I have learned that God speaks his loudest when I'm down my lowest. And so let's let him speak loud to us when there's victory. Maybe it won't be such a roller coaster after that. Does that make sense? Amen. Somebody shout revival. Amen. We need to continue to keep the revival spirit in a home-going church. It's one of the greatest ingredients. Amen. So, and we need the heart to pulsate the perimeters of righteousness. Amen. Praise God. Step across the line and realize, when you realize it, you get yourself back. Find yourself an altar and repent. Pour your guts out to God. Don't worry about what people think. Just give your soul to God and let God refresh you. Let God revive you. Let God anoint you. Let God restore you. Let the anointing break every yoke that took you out. Hallelujah. Curse every thought. Listen, come against everything the enemy has thrown at you, the flesh, the world, amen, and overcome. Amen. It is not a battle. It is not a fight. Amen. It's a constant. It's every day, and it's ongoing, and it will be until we are changed and we are like him. Amen. But we can't give up and make reason for it. Praise the Lord. So, somebody give me the definition of insanity. Does anybody know? Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. I love asking you guys questions because up here it sounds like, but it's all that, I'm sure. I'm sure it's all that. Amen. I heard this a long time ago, and I've told you several times, but let me say it again. To do things the same old way you've always done them and to expect great change. Somebody said, that's insanity. Amen. I'll say it like this. Where we've been has been phenomenal. Let's go to a deeper height with God. Let's go to a deeper depth in revival. Let's see what God can do on another level. Amen. Praise God. What is revival? Nehemiah 4 and 2. He spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and he said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? What are these crazy people? And if you'll read on, you'll find that each dad, when they went back to Jerusalem to rebuild it for the glory of God, you'll find out that every dad built the wall that protected his own home. Nehemiah said, you, that's where you live, build your wall. He said, you, that's where you live, you and your family build the wall. Amen. I preached this on Father's Day many years ago in the evangelistic field, not what I'm talking to you about tonight, but I preached along those lines, and I said, build it well, Daddy. Build it well. Nehemiah was smart because he knew, Brother Johnny, if he appointed Dad to build that portion of wall where they lived, he knew that they wouldn't fudge on the concrete and that they wouldn't fudge on the mortar and that they would have strong rock because that was their family that Dad was building for. And so I shout tonight, build it well, Daddy. Build it well. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's have revival. Praise God. Amen. So, look at Psalms 85 and verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Amen. Please don't try to tell me you'll never need another dose of revival. That you will not personally need God to come in and to wash and cleanse some things. Amen. Praise God. If so, you are a Cabbage Patch baby. And there's no emotion, no feeling, and there's no humanity about it. Listen, we need God 24 hours a day. There's not a day that we do not need God. We need Him. We need Him to come, and we need Him to revive us. And everybody shout again, that thy people may rejoice in you. Do you see that? Revive us again. Why? So we can get our worship back. Remember what I said a while ago? One of the first things that have to go is real worship. Amen. My worship is the way that my battle is won. Because I know if I worship Him, He is going to strengthen me. And I'm talking about, again, heartfelt, spirit, Holy Ghost worship. Not just what everybody else is doing. Not just motions. Amen. Young people, please hear me very closely. Amen. We don't run the aisles because somebody else just took off. Amen. We don't leap up and down because somebody else is doing that beside us. We do that because it's deep in our heart, deep in our guts. Amen. If they want to run, let them run. But if you feel like standing right there and dancing, you stand right there and dance. Amen. Amen. And if you feel like running with them, run with them. But let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost. And let's have real revival. Amen. So I want to shout, revive us again, O Lord. Amen. Praise God. So, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? In other words, David is saying, Lord, I know that you will. I want to show you something that happened, I think it was in the 80s. Brother, if you'll show us a little Jessica McClure. Born in Texas, 1986, Jessica McClure Morales, also known as Baby Jessica. You can see the little scar on her forehead where she had a lot of stitches there. 18 months old. She was the nation's baby there for a long time. baby Jessica. She became famous in 1987 when at 18 months old, she fell down a 22-foot well in her aunt's backyard. She remained trapped in the well for 58 hours while America watched on CNN before being rescued. Now, this is what the gentleman, they found the hole where she fell was so small and minute. They were afraid to dig and do different things. She was there for 58 hours for a reason. The ground was very weak, and the hole where she lay was so small. And finally, they found an individual that was, almost like a contortionist. His bones didn't join together or something. And he literally put bones out of joint and worked his way into that hole where that baby was, and he rescued her, pulled her out. And when they pulled her up, they interviewed him, and he said, she was looking at me all the way up as if to say, I knew you were coming. I never forgot that. She looked at him as if to say, I knew you were coming. Now, it would be just like the enemy to get our to allow him to help to attack us in a way that we got our minds on nothing but ourselves. So that people out there that the Lord intended for us to rescue, in other words, we would never get to see that look on their face as if they were looking at us, Brother Tony, and say, I knew you were coming. I knew you were coming. Listen, how many of you have ever seen someone receive the Holy Ghost and shortly after that service, they said, I knew there was more? Raise your hand if you've heard things like that. I knew there was more. I knew there was something else. Well, from now on, I want you to picture 18-month-old little Jessica McClure as she came up from that 22-foot well after 58 hours in torment. And see that look on her face as if she was saying, I knew you were coming. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way we're going to go and the only way they'll be rescued is if we maintain revival. Revival. Praise God. Amen. And if we do, I want to give you good news. Psalms 138, verse number 7. I want you to see this. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. David's saying it again. Lord, he revived him in the last scripture. Now he needs reviving again. He said, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Somebody say, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that sounds like my God. That's right. Praise God. I know you will, Lord. I know you will. Isaiah 57:15. Praise God. What is he? Hallelujah. For this, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. Somebody say humble. To revive the spirit of the humble. Even the humble need reviving. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Lord said, I'm going to revive those that are humble, and I'm going to revive those that want to stir up a little trouble too. Amen. Everybody qualifies if you want revival. Doesn't matter what your nature is. Doesn't matter what your spirit is. God is able to save and redeem and set free and liberate. And he's able to revive. Amen. Isaiah, why are you saying such things like that? Well, it's because he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up the year King Uzziah died. When my king died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that's what he's been talking about ever since. How now he sees the Lord lifted up. Amen. Praise God. Kings and kingdoms are all going to pass away, but the Lord remains high and lifted up. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say hi. Amen. Praise God. Famous comedian Clower. What's his first name? Jerry Clower. He once said, and I never forgot it, humility will always get you an audience with the king. That's what he would close with sometimes in his little comedy acts. He said, humility will always get you an audience with the king. Amen. Let's look at Acts 3:19. Are we okay? All right. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of what? Say it out loud. Say it again. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I believe that's what's coming for someone in the house tonight. A time of refreshing. A time of renewing. A time of reviving. Amen. Do not listen to the voices that would sway you away from the will of God, because of their, it would make their lives so much more convenient. Amen. You listen to the voice of God and stay with the voice and the very presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lead your family, lead yourselves into apostolic revival. And let's see what God does. Can you say amen? Praise God. And so he's high and lifted up. He's our revival. And then so secondly is fellowship. Everybody shout fellowship. Amen. We've got to maintain a healthy fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is prayer. And so we've got to maintain a fellowship with God. We've got to maintain a healthy fellowship with family. That fellowship with family has got to be healthy. Amen. And we've got to maintain a healthy fellowship with friends. Praise God. We're human beings, and so we need all three of these things. We need God. We've got to have family, and we've got to have friends. Praise God. All right, Philippians 4 and 6. This is one of my wife's favorite areas. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Amen. Supplication simply means humble prayer. That's what supplication means. It means a prayer that is prayed in deep humility. Amen. There's those prayers we pray and we're charging hell with a cup of ice water. I love those prayers, man. You feel the strength of God all over you, and the anointing is breaking yokes and things. But then there's that supplication prayer, and that's that prayer that puts you on your face and makes the tears flow. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is all over you, and it's an humble prayer. And there's things that can be accomplished during this kind of prayer that cannot be accomplished any other kind of prayer. And so we go by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known unto God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So fellowship with God is important. Family and friends, praise the Lord. And then the peace of God will come with that. And the peace of God, you know what the peace of God is? We can know peace 24 hours a day. You say, well, Pastor, stuff must never come against you. Listen, stuff comes against me, and stuff is going to come against you, but you can know peace in the midst of the storm. Amen. Just because the thermometer is right, the weather is right, the season is right, and everything is good around you doesn't mean that shouldn't govern and dictate your peace. Amen. We can know peace. Amen. When? I want you to listen very, very carefully what I'm getting ready to say. We can know peace at all times when we are trustful. When we have a trustful love like a child toward God. When we have a trustful love like a child with their God, with your God. And when we have a childlike confidence in God. Trust Him like a child. Don't make God have to prove Himself to you day in and day out all the time. Just trust Him. Just love Him. Amen. Praise God. We were born. Listen, I know, and if they were here today, and they would probably be the first to say amen, so I'm not behind anybody's back or anything, but my parents were not the best parents in the world. They would tell you that. But you know what? That's my parents. That's my mom. That's my dad. Now, I've lost my mom, and I'm probably about to lose my dad. But the thing of it is, that's my mom. And that's my dad. They don't have to do anything for me to love them like that. In fact, they could have done a few more things, a whole lot better. But I love them. Why do I feel that way at 58 years old? Because I felt that way since I was a child. When you came to the Lord, you were born again. After you were born again, guess what you were? And if you fell in love with the Father as a child, then you're going to have no problem staying in love with Him after you've been in the church for many years. And so it is. If we can just have a childlike confidence and love in God, that will create a fellowship with Him that cannot be snapped, and it cannot be broken, and it cannot be taken away. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the ways to determine if the man or the woman in the mirror, that means the one you're looking at constantly, the one I look at constantly, one of the ways to discern if that individual is converted is by Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. Bible study, right? But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, what does it tell us to do? Say it out loud. Strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. Amen. I prayed for the sick when I was sick. I prayed for the burdened when I was burdened. I prayed for the bereaved when I was bereaved. Amen. I prayed for those that were afraid they were going to get sick when I was dying of cancer. I'm serious. I'd come out of treatments throwing up, tubes everywhere, stitches everywhere, and my doctor would just show up right in front of me. He said, Pastor Marshall, would you please pray for me? I said, sure, son. In the name of Jesus, Lord, would you And I couldn't hardly walk to the car. But we got that relationship. Amen. He sensed, perhaps, that I was converted. And that those that are converted are going to strengthen the brethren. They're not going to break them down. They're not going to tear them apart. They're not going to rip them up. They're going to strengthen them. Because they know that a church is only as strong as its weakest saint. It's just like a chain. We're in this together. And if there's a weak one, we better surround them, because that's where our weak spot is for everybody. Amen? Praise God. I didn't mean to get into all of this, but here we are. I won't be much longer. I promised you a short Bible study tonight. Hallelujah. Trust God, not me. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. When I say that I'm not going to teach very long, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And, you know, all right, let's look at Acts 3:19. Amen. Want to be converted so we don't miss revival and fellowship with God? The Bible says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So, amen. Stay in the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's, people, have you, I almost asked you, have you ever heard anyone say, I don't have anybody to talk to? Don't shake your head or look or anything. Amen. But let me just say this. That's offensive and disrespectful to the Lord. When you say you have no one to talk to, that means you just walked away from God. And if there's anybody better than God to talk to, I don't know who they are. Sometimes it's going to narrow down to where it's going to be no one but you and your God. So, talk to Him. Talk to Him. You know what Isaiah 9 and 6 says? We're going to show you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder. His name is called Wonderful. And here's the name I'm looking for tonight. Everybody shout Counselor. Hey, He's worth talking to. He's worth talking to. He's a Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He don't know just peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you want a chunk of peace, then you need a piece of the Prince. Praise God. It said, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. David said He will. How do you know? Because He has, and David would have said, because He has in my life many, many, many times. Amen. So, who has the answer around here? Who created the answer around here? Who is the answer? Amen. How do I get the answer? How do I know the answer will come? When you realize that Jesus Christ is the answer, and we can run to Him and never return. Just run to Him and stay there. Praise God. Let's stand together. In Him we live, correct? In Him we abide. In Him we survive. In Him we exist. In Him we overcome. Since He lived to die for us, why don't we just die living for Him? Live to die for us. Let's just die living for Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let me pray for you, Landmark. Jesus, I'm asking You tonight to move center to circumference in this sanctuary. Lord, from this pulpit to every individual in this house, none left behind, with the wonderful and the grand spirit of revival. In the mighty and the wonderful and the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody shout amen. And everybody wave at our friends in Illinois that are watching us right now from Illinois. God bless y'all. Love y'all. Join us again. Amen. God richly bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Praise God.